Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here at Guitar Nerds, we're massive fans of Stringjoy guitar strings, and you should be too. Stringjoy, if you don't know, are the world's first true string custom shop, but they also do a whole bunch of standard sets made to the same super high custom shop quality. And one of my favourite things about just how lovely Scott and the team are is the Stringjoy reward system, a bit like a Tesco club card, but cool. Every set of strings you buy earns you points. Each pack is worth $1 in points, and you can save those virtual dollars and put them towards anything in the Stringjoy merchandise store, which, when you have a bucket of guitars and you're always restringing them, makes for a whole bunch of points and thus free merch. It's just a little thing they've set up to say thank you, but I think it's testament to just what a super bunch of people they are and how deserving they are of your string business. Stringjoy strings are available at stringjoy.com and at 400 plus dealers across the globe. If your local store doesn't stock Stringjoy yet, ask them to. JD.
Yes.
What is ET short for?
Ooh, I'm not sure. What is ET short for?
Because he's only got tiny legs. They're getting worse. I'm scraping the barrel.
Oh, that's good. That's
true. Why do dogs float in water?
I don't know. Why do dogs float in water?
Because they're good boys.
It's very British, that.
Buoys.
It's
American.
Because they're good buoys.
Yeah, that doesn't work so well. Oh. Well, actually, that's quite good, because this joke has a load of, like, this joke book I'm reading, I actually think it might be American. That's strange that joke doesn't work so well, because it's got loads of jokes in there where it's, like, about money, and it's doing the whole, like, makes sense, and I'm like, yeah, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah, well, because it makes makes change.
Yeah, doesn't really work.
Shrapnel, just makes shrapnel.
Is that a very Englishism?
Shrapnel. I think the only people that say shrapnel are people that have watched Guy Ritchie films.
Right.
So.
I see. Yes, exactly. Hello, dear listener. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by JD Short.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, JD. Welcome back. This episode's a little bit late in coming, dear listener. Not that it's late, it's out at the right time, but JD and I, a few weeks ago now, probably almost a month ago now, went to the London International Guitar Show. We had a fantastic time. There was loads of stuff. We bought loads of stuff. We checked out some amazing, awesome guitars, got to play some wonderful things. Planned to do the podcast like the next day, and I was about to go on tour and I had to cancel because I just had too much work. Every single company that I work for decided to release things approximately 3 or 4 days before I was due to go on tour, which you might say, surely you knew about those in advance, Joe, and the answer is yes. Maybe I did, but my time management is poor, so I had to cancel.
It's that and changes, you know, like everyone gets nervy before product launch and everything. And it's
exactly.
Yeah, it was interesting. I could just watch the stress build throughout the journey home, as like more and more pings were coming in.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. But so we're going to do a bit of a posthumous roundup
of the London International Guitar Show. Well, it's finished. Obviously, there'll be one next year. I mean, it's not dead as such, but yeah, we're going to talk about all the fun things that we saw.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, all of these, I think, should be recorded after you've attended the show. Because if you do it ahead of time, it's just pure marketing bollocks, isn't it?
Yes, like, very true. But we saw a lot of unexpected stuff, which was cool.
Yeah.
And there were the show was actually surprisingly large. Now, dear listener, if you're the other side of the pond from where me and JD are, then maybe you're more familiar with a show like NAMM, or I think in general US shows tend to be a little bit bigger. This is not a large show, but it was, you know, in a small convention center. It was just a couple of floors, but it really felt like it was crammed in with a lot of stuff. And whilst it was just a one-day show and JD and I were able to do the, you know, see everything we wanted to see in that day, well, I thought we did, we missed loads of things. Like, I didn't see Green Pickups were there, and I really want to say hi to them because I've just fit a set of Green 51-style Tele pickups into my American Vintage Telecaster. There are going to be some demos coming soon, dear listener. I really wanted to put, like, a face to the name and actually talk to them. We didn't see them. Adrian Thorpe was wandering around the whole time, and we didn't see him. And you know what's really annoying about that? Not so much annoying, because I'm very, very happy with what I did end up buying, but we'll talk about it later. I bought a Radium Electronics Rangemaster treble booster. And of course, what did Thorpe release, like, a couple of days later? His own version of a Rangemaster. But I would have still gone for the amp top one, I think, just for...
Yeah. I mean, the amp top one is one that just felt... It felt right at the show. Like, this is probably the most disciplined I think we've ever been around, like, getting something and not just... I mean, both of us are pretty terrible about just seeing something and then, you know, carving off a pound of flesh to get it.
You have been terrible at some shows. Yeah. I've been to some shows with you where I think you've spent nearly like around a grand, but not on like a solid thing, on like lots of little bits and bobs.
Well, the other thing is, like, I promise buying stuff to everybody, and then know, and then I actually follow through as opposed to everyone else is like, yeah, I'll come back around, and it's like, oh no, I told him I would do it, so I'm. And also, I want to do it, you know, so it's great. But.
I did that to Frederick Effects. I was like, I'll be back and I'll buy this pedal because he was doing, he had like one of his wedge-shaped fuzzes. It was the Super Unpleasant Companion, dear listener, which is an incredible sort of very harsh, biting, buzzy sounding fuzz. And he does it with like top-mounted controls. So the controls are on the end, not on the face of the pedal, in an oversized wedge shape. And he had it in limited edition white. This is already so impractical and very cool for that reason.
Yeah.
It had a tiny mark on it. And so he was like, yeah, it's 99 quid. And I was like, I will be back to buy this. But then I saw loads of other things inevitably.
Yeah, it was also the things like the show, it being a one-day show, it felt like it ended quickly. You know, like everyone was tired and ready for it to end because it was, but it felt like it was four or something. And also where it is, in near London, that it was, trains were every hour, and so it was like everyone was who was catching the train, you know, was all either going at 4 o'clock or waiting around in the rain for an hour.
Yeah, and there's nothing around there. It's dear listener, it's at a race course, so it's not in a town. There's not stuff around you, you know.
There's no just like grabbing a coffee someplace else, or let's face it, pint or something. But you know, like it. Yeah, it was great. The thing that I said this like on the like as we were waiting for the train, and then also on the train, and then after the train, the thing I regret not getting was the Goliath Effects, like that DOD pedal that they had.
Yeah, I put this in our notes to talk about. I can't remember what they called it. I've just popped it in the notes as DOD clone. Let's see if I can look it up and find out what exactly it was. But so it was just the DOD preamp, like it was a 250 clone, dear listener, which, you know, lots and lots of brands do. The thing that made them great is Goliath Effects, because the fella's a bass player predominantly and is, you know, very metal orientated, he's interested in low end carrying through on his pedals and his pedals being full range. So the DoD 50, and this is, you know, crucially important for me and JD as predominantly bass players, he calls it the DO5 distortion. Is what he has it listed as. It's more full range, so it sounds great on bass. Which was brilliant. Even on headphones, it sounded great. Both you and me loved it when we plugged it in. And it was neither of us got one because I think at the time I was like, ah, there are lots of DoD 250s. I'm sure I've got one somewhere, you know, but,
especially because the bass we played it on was, I think it was a BEA detuned.
Oh, it was.
And like, it was just, it sounded great. Like it's really good. And I've been looking for like that kind of bite in my setup. So like almost as maybe an always on kind of just constant gritty sound.
Yeah.
And the fact that it really did sound great. Cause normally what I end up doing is running into something like that and then chucking on like an EQ after or something to boost, to put the low end back in or to do something to it that way, or running parallel if I'm being fancy or anything. But it's probably the thing I've thought about most since then. And clearly we've chatted, and reminds me, I need to order one, but the other thing he was, that we sort of talked about with Goliath was that they were going to be doing like a bass sort of bass specific version. And I was like, oh, is it going to be even better? But, having spoken, that's going to be a little bit, because he's got some new pedals coming out like before that. So
right.
So that's exciting and also great, but it just means that it sort of gives me a green light to just go ahead and get one of these now and then pair that with the Black Ice of theirs I already
I still have their Desolation pedal that I've been promising them that I'd record videos for months now, and I will do. I promise I will do. I will get round to it. But Goliath Effects, dear listener, Goliath Effects, effects as in the letters fx.co.uk. Do check them out and check them out on Instagram. They make some finishes are always really interesting and unique.
Oh, yeah.
The pedals sound great. They're like, there's a very rough and readiness to the look of Goliath Effects. You know, they're very much like a small boutique brand and they have that look. But the, and I'm not saying that as a negative, the sound of their effects is fantastic. He's just very good at voicing things and they're very reasonable. So even if you were interested in like one of these DoD 250 style pedals, the D05, they're between £95 and £140 depending on what you go for, what options go. It looks like you can go for a dual version, maybe a two foot switch version, which is very handy. That would give you like an always on grit and then an actual drive on a second switch. Oh, I could really get behind that as a concept. But he does lovely swirl paint finishes and stuff. The DO5 he had at the show was pink and black.
It was absolutely lovely with an actual like a dipped case, you know, pink, black, white. The black ass I have is like a blackout pedal, but it's like in crackle. But also, I don't know if I ever showed you this. I don't know if you'll ever see it, but it's also got my name.
Has it? Oh, I can see that. Oh, that's so cool.
I didn't even ask for it. I didn't notice it ever because it's so subtle. And I was like plugging stuff because it's on the side where there's nothing to plug in. And I was like, oh, it says Black Ice. And I was like, oh, it says JD on the side.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Yeah, they're great. Goliath Effects are really good. Dear listener, do check them out as a brilliant up and coming British effects builder who just makes some great little, you know, everything's inspired by something. But I guess all pedals are really, aren't they? But it's they're lovely takes on different effects. Does a really good job. So you check them out. That was a highlight for me. Seeing that and just gelling with that pedal so instantly.
Yeah, and the fact that I played it and I was like, this sounds great, and then you played it and you're like, why does it sound good on bass? Why? How is this possible?
Well, that was it. I was sure that I'd never been wowed by a DoD 250 before.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those things that sounds great for guitar, but always sounded a little bit 90s to me on guitar. No, maybe not dynamic enough. And And yeah, I'd never ever even considered it as a bass option. But
yeah, it's always just like looking through, you know, trying to sort of get that Jesus Lizard shellacky sort of bass tone here and there. But both of those, the thing with that DOD, like that DOD preamp sounds, or the 250 is always sort of a bit like, it always cuts out too much low end.
Yeah.
For me. I mean, it's just, it sounds great. It's really good. I like it on guitar anyway. Like when you're recording, certainly if you're doing layers, it sort of sits differently with a lot of stuff, I think is cool. But yeah, I can't imagine it being a main distortion for what I like, except this version sounds great on. Yeah. And so, yeah. So I'll report back as soon as I do that. And hopefully I will remember to just go buy it before everyone else listens to this podcast and buys it.
Yes, that was it. Yeah, he makes them to order and they take 3 to 4 weeks. So, yeah, definitely get on that. Now, we have sort of beelined straight into the things we saw at the show. Before we go any further, I do want to do a little bit of housekeeping around the Vintage Guitar Pro Shop giveaway. A build that we're doing. So dear listener, if you've not listened to some of the episodes over the last few weeks, we've teamed up with Vintage Guitars to build. They have a new pro shop. So it's a custom shop where they'll do custom finishes, pickup configurations, et cetera, et cetera. Just like the Fender Custom Shop, but it's Far Eastern built stuff, which all the vintage guitars are, that's then, adjusted, relic'd, you know, whatever's changed over here in the UK. And they're all incredibly reasonable prices. You can kind of pick one up for like £1,000, £1,500. Some of the older ones you could pick up for like £700, £800 when they just started out the pro shop. But great stuff. There's loads of stuff on their website, loads of examples. And the deal is, what we're doing with them is we are team building with you, dear listener. So week by week, we're choosing a new feature. And we're voting on that feature to end up with a guitar that they will eventually build for us, and we will then give away to one lucky listener. So far, week one, we chose Body Shape. You chose Jazzmaster Body Shape one in the end. So we got that offset Body Shape. Week two, we chose Finish, and shockingly, British Racing Green won. I think we split the pink vote. Unfortunately, there were so many pink options in the top selection. So it's a British Racing Green Jazzmaster. And last week we've been looking at pickups, and much to my disappointment, you've let me down again, dear listener. On Facebook, the most popular selection was P90 in the neck, humbucker in the bridge, with two P90s in second place and a single P90 in third place, absolutely smashing everything else. Absolutely smashing everything else. So P90 is really, really up for the win there. Incredible. Only 1% of people on Facebook wanted a Stratocaster pickup configuration. Only 3% wanted a Tele or a humbucker or a single humbucker configuration. So really, P90 absolutely, absolutely on top here. But P90 in the neck, humbucker in the bridge, one on there. And then over on Patreon, now remember, Patreon did flip the result last time, because it was in fact Purple Sparkle that won on Facebook, but British Racing Green won by so much on Patreon that it flipped the result. Over on Patreon, it is a mirroring of the Facebook result this time on Patreon. P90 in the neck, humbucker in the bridge, with 48% of the vote over on Patreon, will be the winner. Two P90s came second and a single P90 came third. I was really hoping for a one pickup guitar, dear listener, something cool and different. You've essentially chosen something you can buy off the peg. Well done, everyone. Just go out and get a Player Jaguar, because I think they have this exact setup, but that's fine, whatever. So we're doing a British Racing Green Jazzmaster with a P90 in the neck, a humbucker in the bridge. This week, we've got to choose the neck. Now, the neck options are going to be dead simple. We're not dealing with profile or anything like that. That's not what the pro shop's about. They're more about, you know, it's going to be a modern C neck. That's the neck profile they do, and it will be a 9.5-inch radius. So what we're actually choosing is just the aesthetics here. So you're going to be choosing between a maple neck and a rosewood neck, and you'll be choosing dot or block. So we'll keep it simple. Maple neck with black block, rosewood neck with, you know, perloid block, and then we'll do rosewood neck with dots or maple neck with dots. Those will be your four options. You can vote on Patreon and Facebook. So do join us. If you're not a member of the Facebook group, Guitar Nerds group on Facebook, sign up to that. If you want to be more exclusive, obviously patreon.com/guitar nerds. Then you can get involved and vote on those polls, and we'll see. And to be honest, after that, past that point, it's just going to be finishing touches, which I think I'm not going to let you guys decide on. I think I'm going to decide on those just to try and de-homer this guitar a little bit and make it a bit more well-rounded. But we'll see. So we're nearly there. So it'll be a pre-Christmas giveaway by, hopefully, fingers crossed. I don't know how long it will take them to build it. Probably not done by Christmas, but we'll see. So there it is. What do you think, JD? Would you...
I think they could get it done whenever they feel like. No, I just kept thinking while you were talking about how most of our fear going into this was that we were going to create the absolute worst guitar possible just by picking everything in isolation, or people just saying, oh, what's my favorite pickup combination, but not considering everything else that's come before. But the fact that it almost feels like good market research that we've gotten. We've gotten something like, yeah, you could buy it, but also it sounds dope. Yeah, like it sounds like an actual guitar people would use instead of some random thing that sits there and goes, look what I won.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. I was kind of disappointed at first that everything's been relatively average, but I think actually what people have chosen is quite a good usable guitar. Like we could have ended up with like a sparkle neon pink, I don't know, whatever body shape with just a single coil in the neck or something like that. That could easily have been where this ended up, just being some wild, like all the different options for the sake of being different. But what people have actually chosen is what will be a pretty good functional custom shop guitar. So
since 2010, Music Nomad Equipment Care has been making premium and innovative guitar care products used and trusted every day by top guitar repair shops, guitar makers, and touring techs in over 50 countries. Pro quality but affordable, Music Nomad is also the go-to for countless guitar players around the globe to help their guitars look, sound, and play their best. After 2 years of research and development, and in collaboration with top guitar repair shops, Music Nomad developed in 2021, the Keep It Simple setup, aka KISS. And now thousands of guitar players, from beginners to pros, have learned how to set up their own guitar. They demystified the guitar setup process by developing innovative precision gauges and tools, combined with step-by-step general guidelines anyone can follow and set up their guitar to play and sound great. With their KISS method and their gauges, you can check the vital areas of your guitar and use their toolkits to perform your own setups. They have a 24-page instructional booklet available in 7 languages, downloadable for free, and many how-to videos, both by setup tasks as well as many complete setup video tutorials for popular brands such as Fender, Gibson, Taylor, PRS, and more. Not only is it fun, but a properly set up guitar takes your playing and sound to a whole new level. Learn more at musicnomadcare.com. Their website has a very cool setup hub section where you can find everything you need to know so you can start setting up your guitar properly. Follow them on social media at musicnomadcare. Kiss your guitar with Music Nomad's Keep It Simple setup.
Yeah, I've also like equated to like with custom shop stuff like this. Often equated to like those build your own pizza places. Oh, yeah. Like certainly in the States and stuff where you just go and there's all the however many toppings you want, it's the same price. And so you start being like, oh, I want a bit of this. And oh, that's weird. I'll get that. And then you end up with a pizza full of things you like, but that don't really work together well, And it's like, oh, maybe I didn't think broccoli and sweet corn were my favorite pizza toppings until broccoli, pineapple, and sweet corn.
Wow.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I mean, I do, not to open that can, but, I do like a pineapple pizza. It's good.
Do you? Like a pineapple pizza?
I mean, there's already so much fruit on pizza anyway, but pineapple jalapeno.
Wow.
And then, you know, other stuff, but like the two together, especially. Yeah.
There's a pizza place near me called Pizza Face. It's very good, dear listener. Very good. And it themes all its pizzas around. So I buy what it's called the Tom Nut now. It was previously known as the Tom York. They changed its name. I have no idea if that was for legal reasons,
Imagine suing a pizza place to be like, Anyway.
But it's a sour cream and cashew and spinach topped pizza. It's actually very good.
Oh, yeah, sounds great.
But it's obviously vegan sour cream, dear listener. Yeah. It's very good. Very good pizza place. Weird pizzas are good.
I'm into weird pizza. It's just the lack of control with thinking what actually goes together, or you end up with like a pizza that's a mound of toppings because you're like, oh, just one of everything. And then it's like, yeah, that's how you get a pink sparkle single coil in the neck.
Yes, you know, like exactly.
A 5-string guitar, single coil neck. It's just like something like, oh, I never play the B string anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so there you go, dear listener. Go out and vote. We're nearly there. Vintage guitar is nearly ready to be built. Now, before we get back into things as well, I wanted to talk about, this is something that we did see at the show, JD, Buzzing Bugs Effects. We went over to see Buzzing Bugs Effects, a company that I've spoken about before on the podcast. I've reviewed both of their fuzzes. They did a fuzz preamp and they did a harmonic percolator. Really great sounding examples of those pedals, and I'm a big fan of a harmonic percolator. They did such a good job with that. They've released their third pedal, the BB03. My phone was ringing then, sorry about that. That's how they do their pedals. They're always BB01, BB02, BB03. This one is the first time that it's not a fuzz. It is in fact a lo-fi chorus that they're releasing, which is great. By lo-fi chorus, I mean it's got like heavy modulation, so it goes super crazy, but it also has like a slapback delay on there via a room control, which gives you just a really tight slapback, and then a mix control. You've got an age control on there, so it can sound more sort of more worn out cassette, warped vinyl style thing. Now, it was great. We both tried it out, but they're going to be giving away one of these pedals on Instagram in a limited edition silver finish. The normal pedal is white and black. They're going to be doing one in silver with matching silver knobs. The giveaway is going to be coming out on Wednesday. I'll announce it all. I'll let everyone know on Facebook and on Patreon when that giveaway's going on, as well as being on our Instagram. Definitely get involved in this. This company are fantastic. Just a great small effects pedal company that makes some really high quality stuff. I was very impressed. So get involved in that giveaway when you see it. But JD, you got to try this out as well. The BB03, the lo-fi chorus.
Yeah, I really liked it. And I remember when we were playing it, we were able to get some sort of like old Wurlitzer style sounds, like some old, like old organ-y kind of vibes, just from the chorus. There's lots of, like the age knob is really powerful from what I remember it being really, adding lots of just artifacts and grit to it to made it really great. And
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Yeah, it's one of those pedals I sort of forgot to buy. Because I was like, oh yeah, yeah, well, yeah, we'll have one. But yeah, it's really interesting because I mean, I love a chorus. But it's, you know, it feels like there was lots of capability in five knobs, yeah. You know, like, which, you know, it's like your typical like depth, time, and then mix, you know, but then like the agent room were really, really, I don't know, added something pretty, pretty different that you don't see on lots of other pedals. So like that was, so sort of when you were talking about earlier, like pedals being inspired by, this feels like it's inspired by, there's a starting point here, but it feels like this hits a place that not many other people do. And then they have their own take on it and everything. And like I said, like lovely company, small British, small Cornish company,
right. But they one of the things that I think struck me most about this when I was playing it was how much this pedal altered your sound. I know that's a weird thing to say about an effects pedal, but it was just a big tone, lots of tone. Like you could really go to the extremes of like heavy slapback, heavy vibrato. And I loved having it in one little box. Of course, you know, a degraded chorus vibrato sound with a slapback is something you can achieve with a couple of pedals, sure. But I just loved how easy it was to get such a huge sound with such a simple pedal.
And it also did subtle well, you know? Yeah. So like if you wanted just like a touch of a bit of sparkle or a bit of room, which is how I imagine I often use reverb, right, mostly as like a bass. Like when I'm using chorus and verb together, I don't want this huge wash of things because it's too rich. But like just having a bit, you know, like of course, just kind of, you know, like sitting on top of things and adding a bit of room to that was really great. Also knowing that I could do wild stuff with it is cool as well, but it being able to be sort of a multifunction pedal, like in the same, you know, in the same set, I could easily have it do different things with a couple tweaks.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Cool. Exactly. Now, I'll play you a sample of it, dear listener, so you get an idea of how this pedal sounds. I've just recorded a little guitar track. There were like three or four guitar parts on there, all with varying degrees of the effect. To show off, I guess, I mean, is a chorus really versatile? Maybe not, but just how brilliant this sounded. I thought it's the Cure in a pedal is kind of how I felt about it. Here's a little sample track. It was.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
It's good. It's really good. It's really good. I they're one of those companies where every single pedal they've released, I've been like, yes, this is something that would go onto my pedal board.
Yeah.
Um, that, you know, it's often, you know, there were lots of great pedals out there, and I can appreciate and go, this is a great pedal, but maybe not 100% for me. Every pedal they make, I'm like, yes, this is for me. This is specifically made for me. It's very good.
Yeah.
But yes, dear listener, there will be a giveaway, so check it out. I'll let everyone know on Facebook and on Patreon and on Instagram as soon as it does come out. Get involved. Win yourself a very cool Buzzing Bugs BB03 Lo-Fi Chorus. It is great. Now, we need to talk about all the things that we checked out. I guess where do we start, JD? Do you want to start with something you bought or something you saw?
Yeah. Let's go bought, because, I mean, that's the... because it's right in front of me. Yeah. The first thing, also that means I can take it to rehearsal tonight and put it on my board properly. The first thing I bought was the Funny Little Boxes Skeleton Key.
Which is
excellent.
Your second Funny Little Boxes pedal.
It's my second, yeah.
You bought their 1991 last time?
Yeah, at the Birmingham show. So, you know, and these Skeleton Keys have been... like wildly popular for good reason. It's really it's great. It's distortion based on the tones of Queens of the Stone Age. So like 1991 is based on Pearl Jam's 10. This is sort of based on the guitar tones, sort of the suite of guitar tones from what's her name again? Yeah.
Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah. I was looking at Skeleton Key. I was trying to, but it's, yes. I mean, it's, you know, simple controls, gain, tone, volume, you know, but it's like really flexible. Sounds really great on bass too. It's not really, I sort of bought it without really playing it. Just because I trust like Andy and Funny Little Boxes so much, but, and the fact that literally everyone's clamoring to get this pedal, and it's, you know, and they're always cheap, but it's, sounds great.
Sub £100.
Yeah. Really, it's really, really good. Really flexible from going from like a low gain to sort of high gain. There's lots of videos. Well, there's some videos, online that really go into depth about some of the different tones you can get and sort of matching the tones from, from certain album recordings of Queen Stars. It's the thing that, so sort of for me is like, I got it because I was looking for something to kind of to do that, what in everyone's mind, the PV Decade, the sort of secret sauce amp of Josh Homme, does. But this doesn't sound at all like a PV Decade, but it does the thing that you want it to do, which is like just sound good and sit well in the mix. Like that's the thing that a PV Decade does, is it has a really specific distortion that when you're layering sounds really good because it sounds like a guitar in an iPhone speaker.
Yeah.
Where this sounds like a reasonable, like really great sounding distortion that you could use for basically anything. And I,
well, this allows you to get that tone in your rig. Like no one's going to no one's going to gig a Decade, and no one's going to bring one along just for their drive tone. So
it's, I almost bought one and was thinking about doing that as well, but I also used to do a crossover and run through like a Marshall DLC-40 for my like top end distortion, which is over the top and silly and doesn't make sense for a pub gig, you know, but hey, you know, we have fun. I can't recommend the pedal highly enough. It's really great. It's, wanted it for like different, a bit of different color and to really scratch the itch of almost paying way too much for something that intentionally doesn't sound great. But then in doing so, getting a guitar pedal that is, you know, sounds really good. It's just, you know, typical like op amp based distortion, which is the code words for everything being, you know, inspired by some other stuff. But I think the thing I'd say about is it's really responsive to different pickups. So when I play like different basses or different guitars, like it really feels like a different pedal in a good way.
Right. Like it's an expander for your instrument rather than just being an effect type that goes on top of anything.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's loads of, this thing is like, I love fuzzes. And this is also one of the things I always tell myself to allow me to feel good about buying yet another fuzz, is that they all sound different depending on which pickup and like where you're like, what, basically what you feed into them. They're so reactive that I have some fuzzes that sound absolutely awful on a couple of my basses, but might be my favorite fuzz on another bass.
Right.
Or guitar. But this pedal feels really flexible, but it always sounds like, I always like how it sounds. So like, even, you know, switching from like super high output, like P bass style pickups to humbuckers or to the P90s I have in guitar, like it all sort of works and just sounds good. And I like your description of it sound like an expander for the instrument as opposed to, yeah. And I think the thing that I'd say about this is, so Queens of Stone Age for me, like when I think about their sound, it's always just so multi-layered, which, you know, a lot of major releases are, you know, I mean, you think about Muse or Green Day and the sheer amount of guitar tracks that are there and separated that are used, or most modern metal and stuff. But like this pedal to me, and I think this was the intention of the pedal, but it's a pedal that sounds like those stacked guitar tracks that are different amps along the way, sort of like somehow. So, you know, where you have one amp for the bass tone, or one amp for the mid range tones, one for the top end, and that kind of stuff that you get. Or Alice in Chains was famous for that as well. You know, it's just getting, it's somehow for sub £100, getting a pedal that captures that big sound that you get, but also the liveliness with which like Queens of Stone Age has. Cause like all those other bands I think of always have really tight guitar tones, you know, like,
yeah, they're very tight, but very full bodied. It's like a full range sort of thing.
Yeah. Whereas like Queens of Stone Age always sounds and feels like, you know, thunderous or loose as well. Like it feels very much like, you know, like single coil, semi-hollow body Jang, you know, like that you're kind of playing those, which they do, you know, but like, it's a much different style of playing with that level of information coming through. And
they look fantastic. What a lovely little company that seem to be set on making affordable pedals that sound really good. Only two releases, but such attention to detail in both of them. And they're all very good.
I highly recommend checking it out and just see. And it's also feels sort of, it, I think this is a pedal that could be sort of a secret weapon sort of pedal for a lot of people that is some, oh God, it's going to make some key analogy on, you know, like in essence, that wasn't a dad joke, but you know, like it could be the sort of thing that just sort of sets, you know, like your sound, like sets it different enough against everyone else. And certainly if you're in like a multi guitar band, you know, having, yeah, if you all have the same pedals, it's a bit, it can be a bit much, I find. Yeah. But, yeah.
iZotope and Native Instruments plugins have been the backbone of the Guitar Nerds podcast for almost the entire 10 years that we've been podcasting. iZotope's Nectar plugins help keep our audio crisp and clear. RX cleans up any artifacts and Ozone masters each episode. Whilst Native Instruments Guitar Rig is one of the absolute best guitar amp and effects plugins available and helps me demo pedals and guitars without having to set up amplifiers or microphones and still getting great tone. And now, with Black Friday fast approaching, they've put together a whole bunch of great deals. It's Cyber Week, so there's 50% off of loads of Native Instruments plugins, discounts on Guitar Rig itself, and loads of iZotope plugins, and a few bundle deals too. Check it all out at native-instruments.com. Yeah, well, super cool. Definitely check them out, dear listener. They're funny little boxes. They're a wonderful a wonderful effects pedal company that make cool overdrives. Check them out. Now, one of the other things we in a non-effects pedal thing that we checked out, and a non-new release thing, there was, and there always is at the London International Guitar Show and all of the Northern guitar shows that company do. There was a lot of great vintage stuff, specifically a lot of great Gibson vintage stuff. And you and I, JD, saw a bunch of stuff. There is what's that company? There's that big British company that does loads of vintage stuff. I can't remember the name. It begins with A. It's three letters. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's like, I keep thinking ATG, but that's the theater group. So it's
It doesn't matter. But they're always there. What did it say on this little flyer that I've got here?
ATC.
Something like that. Anyway, all the listeners are shouting at their radios right now. Radios? Yeah, that's where we play.
ATB.
ATB,
I was
right.
Close, yeah.
Okay, yes.
I think maybe. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, they're fantastic. They obviously have loads of great custom shop stuff. But the one that really caught our eye was Sergeant Pepper's.
Yeah.
Sergeant Pepper's guitar and bass. Yeah, Guitar and Bass UK, that's what they're called. Sergeant Pepper, Guitar and Bass UK. This company, dear listener, so they had some amazing stuff, loads of great vintage Gibsons. But this is such testament to like the collector's market and how much, JD, it is not for you or I or anyone anywhere close to our age. They don't even have a site. It's like I picked up their card and realized it's just got a telephone number on it.
Yeah,
and it's a landline.
I would say it's an 0200. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, this stuff's not for us. This is for old boys who have got 10, 20 grand to spend on an old Gibson, but
or more.
Well, yes, as we will discuss. They do have a reverb shop, but he doesn't list everything. He's got a £30,000 Gibson EB1 Elvis Presley Slab Mark I 1960 bass on there. And he's got a handful of other bits and bobs, but nothing like the things. And I can't believe he sold all those things. So I assume he just doesn't list them there only for people who know. It's that sort of that sort of thing. But some crazy stuff. We saw two on separate stands, two of the Gibson EB6s, Bass 6. So Gibson did a couple of variants of the Bass 6, dear listener, made in extremely limited quantities. I mean like 60 of them. They did one in an SG shape, which is my favorite, and one in their 335 body shape, or their large hollow body shape, as a six string bass. We saw two of those at two separate stands, which
to be fair, I think that just goes to show like what, like why shows like this are extremely cool. I had never seen either of those in actual, like in person before, really, or maybe I have, but not up close, or not. I've never really checked them out. But the fact that we saw two at the same sort of show with so many other amazing, certainly vintage, like this really felt like vintage Gibson heaven. Like it felt like a vintage Gibson show for a bit, like because there was like just so much there. And yeah, it's great. It's the kind of thing you don't get it like the big shows at NAMM, because NAMM is all new. You know, it's new instruments. It's all the, you know, it's all trade.
Yeah.
Whereas like this being more, you know, consumer and player focused was just, it's just great, because there's just loads of stuff there. And also we had probably one of the most us moments I think has ever happened, in that they had a Kubicki, fretless Kubicki factor.
Explain what that is as well.
So, it's one of the best sounding basses of all time. But the Kubicki factor is sort of like a late 80s, early 90s headless, built-in detuner bass, like two sort of soap bars, individual string, you know, weird, very space-agey sort of offset shape. But they're incredible, like loads of advancements, certainly for, you know, 30 years ago now, like just loads of stuff the basses won't have for another 15 years probably on them that were just great. And then I can't remember what the other bass was, but it was a very old Gibson or Fender,
one it was next to.
Yeah.
It was next to a Fender Tele Bass. But one of the first editions of the Tele Bass, dear listener, before they moved to a wide range humbucker in the neck position, when it was basically the same as a 51 style Tele. And they were originally butterscotch, but the paint Fender used was very cheap, and they've all turned green over time. But it was a super old school Fender Tele Bass, exactly what I want.
Yeah. next to the Kabiki Factor, which is one of my sort of bucket list basses. And I was like, oh, let me just see the price on it. And like, I go reach the tag, and just like, oh, I thought you were going for the other one.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
We were both talking about this incredible bass that we could see in front of us, thinking we were talking about the same thing, but we were not.
Yeah, but both appreciate the, you know,
yeah,
appreciating it. But yeah, it was very us, and then we giggled.
Yes, it was very cool. But the other six string bass, they had the SG version, they had the 1962 EB6, which is the SG version. They moved to two humbuckers at this point, because it's just one humbucker in the neck on the hollow body version of that. So dual humbucker, it's got a little mute, like a Jaguar mute kit sort of built into it. They had one of these for £15,000, only 68 of those made. And when you consider Gibson only making 68 of something, £15,000 actually sounds like a reasonable price. But I know that's still a ridiculous price, dear listener. I'm just saying, there's a bass here that Elvis Presley potentially touched at some point, and it's 30 grand. This is one of only 68 Gibsons ever made, and it's 15 grand. But they also had one of the EBOF SG basses, the EB basses. So, dear listener, it's a short scale EB bass made in 1963. They only made 74 of these, where they came fitted with a Maestro FZ1 fuzz tone built into the bass itself. One of the least bass friendly fuzzes of all time actually cut into the bass itself. They only made 74 of those, and that was only $5,000.
Yeah, that one, that, I mean, the fact that we're like, oh, it's only $5,000 for a bass that probably cost $149 or something when it was produced. It was really cool. It was really cool. But, and I remember that one would be like, after seeing all the other stuff that was, well, some things we saw were six figures, just being like, oh, it's $5,000. That seems quite reasonable. That's, you know, most custom shops you can get at places now.
Yeah, exactly. Prices were a little all over the place.
Yeah.
Stand to stand for vintage Gibson stuff. I do think it's a little bit a case of some people price accurately and some people just put whatever they want on the price tags of those things. But
it was pretty wild to see the variance of price there. And I expect some people just really expect a haggle.
Yeah.
But I will say it is one of those things where I clearly felt like I wasn't armed with enough, knowing what the vintage market is for Gibsons at the moment, like knowledge where, I mean, you're clearly on top of all of it. You know, like, it was always like, man, that should be, you know, it's like, well, that's got this nom, so it should be like this very specific price. And I was like, yeah, I was much more in the like, oh, I think this is cool. I get it, you know, but again, you know, like with the Kabiki, I know the price I saw it at should be a little bit lower, but
it's always a bit higher at these things. Yeah. I think the one for me, they had the Gibson EB1 violin bass, which was, I love that bass. So, dear listener, if you've not seen it, it's Gibson's first attempt at making a bass. It's a violin bass, but it's solid. So the idea was they were just trying to make it look a bit like a double bass in, you know, the sort of aesthetic. I know it's a totally different size. Those basses, those EB1s, even came with a tailpiece so that you could play it standing up, because at this point in 1953, we hadn't really established that bass players were going to start playing like guitarists. So you had two options with it. But really cool bass. It even has a painted-on F-hole, which I love. Lots of people hate. But I think it looks great. And I'm always on the lookout for one. And they go for around $4,000. And the one that we found there was priced up at $6,000, which I thought was quite a lot of overpricing, and someone had cut an extra pickup into it because they only came with a neck pickup. Someone had cut a little sidewinder pickup into the bridge, and I'm like, well, as soon as you've done this, like, it's because basses are still a bit of the Wild West, especially Gibson basses from that time period, because there aren't really that many of them and not that many Gibson bass fanatics from that time period. But imagine, you know, imagine if that was a Les Paul, like a 1958 Les Paul, and someone had cut an extra pickup into it, and then you still wanted to charge $2,000 more than they actually sell for. Like, I just thought that was silly. But yeah, the price of vintage stuff, it is it's just all over the place at the moment. Still, it was wonderful to see so many cool old things.
It's just great because, I mean, I really liked one. So one of my big takeaways from like the shows that we've been to sort of in the last year or so, it's really great to see all the old vintage stuff and to be able to buy stuff. I mean, the other thing we haven't talked about is like, there's so many companies that just had crates of random stuff. And like it was the most like it, and I mean this in the most, friendly way possible, because I love all this. It just felt like a big car boot or like a flea market sort of sale. There'd just be tubs of vintage effects, vintage parts.
Yeah, it would be like, here's the foot switch from a Maestro FZ1. Why would I need that?
And then you're like, I have actually been restoring a Maestro FC1 because they're the price of cars now.
Yeah.
And so like, but it's, yeah, there's just like, and it's like loads of old speakers. And I just sort of felt like I next time we do a show like this, I'd like to come prepared with like the stuff that I'm sort of always on the lookout for that is not really top of mind. I want a couple different like speakers for my Fenton Weil amp I'd like to try out, you know, some like old Jensens or like an old something like that. And there was loads of old speakers available there, you know, and stuff, and just, you know, all those parts. But it's so great to see, to sort of be like guitar part effects, whatever, like crate digging in essence, but then also seeing like these incredible examples of like pristine vintage instruments, you know. And they had like a lot of the Bernie Marsden collection was there, and there's some fundraising stuff happening going on for that. But then also seeing like new builders and like small builders with some really interesting designs, and, you know, seeing all of our like friends that we know who have companies being like, oh, here's some stuff I'm working on and everything. And it just being, it's just, everyone should go to more guitar shows. They're so great.
But, yeah, they were great. They were fantastic. Now, where should we go from here? Do you want to talk about, pick one of your things, JD, from your list?
One of my things. Let's see. The other thing, I'll just say, the other thing I got at the show were, I've been meaning to get some Mojo cables for a while. So just, just another cable, another interesting cable company. I really like great build quality. They do lots of vibrant colors and stuff. Like, that's sort of their sort of branding of such. And they're really great. Like, they're not sort of ridiculous sensational colors, but they all sort of, you know, they're very vibey kind of cables. They sound great. They're made in Yorkshire, so it's such a great
They're super sturdy, very, like, they're great. You buy a Mojo cable and that's, you know, unless you lose it, that's the last cable you need.
And they're really reasonable, reasonably priced. Like, I think they were like 20 something for,
are they? Wow.
Yeah.
More like, than that. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I only got like 3-meter-y, like straight ends sort of stuff. So, I mean, you could do if you wanted double right angle or anything like that, but I tend to prefer, I'm back to preferring straight jacks for the moment. I'll probably go back to a 90 degree right angle here in a second. To be fair, it's usually like a left angle because the way it goes into the guitar, but
I was thinking of going back to curly. You know,
yeah, I've never been on board with curly. Like, I think probably because I played my grandparents' old stuff and I had a curly cable, and it's like I never understood. I think it's just a function thing. for me more than anything like that.
You want it to be springy. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It looks so cool, but I know it's kind of, you don't want a cable to bounce around. Really.
Yeah, I don't really know why they exist. As like, except when you're a kid, for like something to play with, like a weird slinky or just something, you know, like the weird springy door stoppers on the back. But yeah. But it always just seems like you have 100 foot of cable to only actually be able to go 10 meters or something like that. You know, when it's like, well. But you're right. They do look cool. If you're doing that kind of thing, you know, like I imagine they'd look ridiculous with like, you know, like an SBC or something like that, you know,
you have to be doing a Hendrix style thing to make it work. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Or you're the kind of band that has like the tight suit trousers and your feet are together and you just play jangly, you know, jangly little things. And you're like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. Or Tame Impala or something. Maybe that's the coolest version of what you could make it work.
Yes, yeah. You're probably right. Now, another. I want to finish up with a pedal company that we saw that were great. And it is a London pedal company called The Berry Effects. Effects, again, dear listener, is the letter. They make great vintage-inspired pedals. They also do like relict versions of their pedals. And they do one-off effects, things like their Tone Berries, which is obviously a tone bender. But they do things in like vintage chassis with vintage parts and stuff like that. The look of their standard range of pedals is very cool. It's kind of vintage rally car inspired, like speed stripes, blues and oranges, reds and yellows, stuff like that. It's they're very cool. All put together by a very young chap who runs the who builds all the pedals and who is the creator of the Berry Effects. And he just seems to have fantastic taste in everything he does. The core line of his pedals essentially is two different drives. One's more of a preamp, one's more of a full-on drive, and a chorus, which is a C1 style chorus, just a two control chorus. But oh, the chorus was fantastic. I really loved it. I did find it difficult to get a feel for the drives on the show because I was on headphones when I was there, so I'm sure they're absolutely fantastic. It's just trying to get an idea for a drive at a show when you've got to use headphones is very difficult, whereas the chorus was beautiful.
Yeah, and the chorus was great. I really like that. So the one, because I think the choruses we played there were that sort of Gulf Oil, like blue, that sort of like Robin's Egg blue and like orange kind of was like racing stripe. And they had two versions. One was just like a standard, like clean version, you know, so like brand new pedal. And then they have like heavy relict, like pedals that looks like it's been in the mechanics. You know, for, you know, like somehow this pedal itself has done 4,000 MOTs, you know, and it's covered in like grease and oil and chips and grass. And it's just like, it's just so, they were very cool. Most importantly, sounded great, but was such a different, you know, such a different vibe. You know, that's, it just seems really good. And also if you have like a heavy relict guitar, and then you look down and, you know, like all of your effects are like Helix or like H9s and stuff like that. Like it feels, it's like, just, is this really going for stuff, you know, like authenticity? But yeah, it's, they're very cool. The chorus sounded really good when you were playing it on, like with a, and the guitar you were playing it on was dope too, wasn't it? Wasn't it like a,
he had like a pink heavy relic strat, cost like a 60 strat, which was extremely cool.
Like heavy relic. Like it was, yeah, it was lovely.
Yeah, really good. But those are the standard line. And then he also does kind of one-off limited edition big box fuzzes as well, called the Berry Fuzz. They're all just really cool. Dear listener, if you like retro relic-y stuff, then the Berry Effects are kind of there. They're sort of, they're doing all the cornerstone of vintage effects, from fuzzes to amp-like drives to retro choruses, all in great chassis, wonderful attention to detail. Yeah, just really impressed.
Yeah, they're really, really cool. And like building into old, to like old actually period correct cases, Yeah. You know, so like getting what's where we learned about how Dunlop owns the shape to the fuzz face.
Yeah.
And so you have to, if you're going to use a pedal in that shape, you basically have to buy the chassis from them.
Loads of
it's really cool. Really cool. Well worth checking out and felt really different to me from like most things. Yeah,
definitely. They were super cool. We've got loads more to talk about, dear listener. Yeah. Loads of cool boutique guitars, a bunch more effects and things. Surprisingly few amps, but is that surprising in 2023? Who knows? But
it is a guitar show, you know?
So. Exactly. It's not an amp show. But yeah, we're going to go and talk about all of that stuff over on the Patreon, dear listener. So do join us there, patreon.com/guitar nerds. Each week we will be recording an extra episode of the Guitar Nerds, which you can access on there. If you head over there, it's got all the information on how you can sign up for that. We're going to go there now. So thank you very much for listening once again. Don't forget to vote in our vintage guitar pro shop build. Go check that out on Patreon and on Facebook and get voting. We're nearly there. We've nearly decided on our complete instrument. And don't forget to enter the giveaway to win the Buzzing Bugs Lo-Fi Chorus. It is very cool indeed. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much, you wonderful people. Thank you especially to our $10 top tier Patreon backers. Very soon, some of you will be receiving your goodie bags. But for now, thank you very much to Nicholas Strom, Rocket Rob Patterson, Marcus Deluxe, Suresh, Dorsonic Pickups, Rob Witherden, Chris Franklin, Anton Fryant, Russ Meehan, Barry Gresbick, Steve Davis, Daniel Walker, John Conaway, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Dan Pilver, Brian Einsler, Dylan Griffiths, Mark Izao Kadawaki, Eric File, Peter Peche, Andy Manley, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Storr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Losef, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and Moog Gravitt.